In fact, the Bible teaches us that heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God will stand. And as we hear the old time preachers to say, it'll stand when the world is on fire. It'll stand for you or it'll stand against you today. In the book of Matthew is where we'll be reading from. If you want to follow along in the 8th chapter, while you pray for just a few minutes, I don't believe the preacher will be as long-winded tonight. And somebody is saying, amen, amen, amen. But that's all right. That's all right. And God bless you. Matthew, the 8th chapter, starting at verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And stop reading over that third verse this evening. And our thought tonight is the Master's touch. The Master's touch. That if you've ever been touched by the Lord, you know about it. You know, whether it's for healing or the saving of your soul, or maybe just a blessing that you feel the Lord come along and touch your life. And you feel like that no matter how bad things are, as long as you can feel the touch of God, it's going to be all right. He is the one that gives us that peace in our minds and in our hearts. That I could touch you or somebody else could touch you, and it's not the same as feeling the touch of the Lord. Not in a realm that I can physically feel him lay his arms upon me, but in a spiritual realm where although the world may be collapsing all around us, maybe some don't even know what all you're going through, but God knows, and you can just feel the presence of God in your heart. And you can feel the touch that he gives, and his touch is special when he comes by our way. Here we read about this man that was a leper that had so much faith that he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He, not being a believer, still had faith that if the Lord would just touch him, that he would be made whole. I wish that we had that kind of faith. As the song that Tara sang earlier, that sometimes I'm the one standing in a need of a touch from God. The Master's touch. And Henson's, I'll get it out, back in the 70s sang a song that I feel the touch of the Master's strong hand. That when you feel his touch, you know everything is going to be all right. Whether we live or whether we die, whether we're healed or we're not, whether we get what we have need of or it goes to somebody else. Have you ever prayed for something and instead of you getting it, somebody else got it? You think about that. But if we know that God works, maybe they've been praying for the same thing. But we just look at it from our standpoint that God, you know how much I needed your touch upon my life. And here you gave it to another. Let me tell you tonight, God's got enough for all of us in the whole world. And if we could just feel his touch upon our life, I used to pray that God would touch our people that were sick and afflicted. But then the Spirit reminded me that God does not have to physically touch us. He can just speak the words, and the touch will come to our life. Here he says that it was a leper that he touched and made him whole because of the faith that he had. And if you still have your Bibles, open to the book of Matthew as we go through it. Over in the 9th chapter, in the 14th and 15th verse, or 8th chapter rather, we read about a time when Jesus came into Peter's house and saw that Peter's wife's mother laid sick of a fever. He was there as a guest, and when he saw her and the need that she had, verse 15 says, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them all. A woman that probably looked like she was on her way out, but when the Lord touched her, immediately the fever left, and she stood and ministered. That word ministered there means that she served them. A woman that was about to die is now up and serving the master and the rest of the household. Over in the 17th chapter, in the 7th verse, if we start before that, in the first verse, we see that Peter, James, and John, his brother, was with the Lord, and the Lord was transfigured before them, and they saw that his face shined as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And there appeared with them Moses and Elias talking with them. What a time that must have been. And Peter and James and John that was with them, they fell to, as they saw what was going on there, Peter said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Now let us build three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And the Lord spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and they heard a voice saying out of the cloud, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And they fell to the ground with their on their face, and Christ came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And they lifted up their eyes, and they saw no man save Jesus only. The Lord had, they got to see something that you and I can't even envision, that the Lord was there with the patriarchs, and how that the Lord spoke out of the cloud, God himself saying, behold my Son, in whom that I am well pleased. And they fell to the ground. I believe if God spoke to us out of a cloud, we'd all fall to the ground. You know what that is? As a sign of reverence unto him. That's why I still like the old time way of bowing at an altar of prayer. Because we are bowing before a great king and one who is worthy to be praised and honored. And Peter, James, and John, they fell down to the ground, and here come Jesus and touched them. Maybe they thought that they had ascended into the heavens. Maybe they thought that they were about to die. I don't know what their thought process was. But when they touched the Lord, he said, arise and be not afraid. And they was able to get up and to move. And then over in the 20th chapter, we read in verses 29 through 34 that Jesus came. He departed from Jericho, and there was a great crowd that followed him. And there was two blind men sitting by the wayside, and they heard that Jesus was passing by. Every time I hear that statement, I remember the time that Jesus was passing through the midst of the grand old church. And he stopped and he talked to me and invited me to be part of his big family. And these blind men heard that Jesus was coming, and they cried out with a loud voice saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. Sounds a lot like blind Bartimaeus, but here there was two. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace, but they cried the more saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. I wish that America would pray that prayer. I wish that my household would pray that prayer. I wish in our churches they would pray that prayer. Lord, have mercy upon us. And if we would pray that prayer, God would give us whatever it is that we stand in need of. I did not say whatever we wanted. I said whatever we had need of. How many of you got needs tonight that money can't buy? Or you know people today that have needs that money can't buy. I've often said in years gone by that if one of my loved ones was stricken with a dreaded disease, and we heard about a doctor or a hospital somewhere that had a cure, we'd probably sell or get rid of everything we could that we could get them to the place of where that remedy was at. Tonight, we are in a place that people can get a remedy for the greatest need that there is. And that is that they have the master to touch their life and their soul and change them from what they are into a born-again child of the living God. That when we feel the touch of God, that we ought to stand in awe. But yet, he doesn't want us to forget about that as God, he is, but he's also our friend. As Villa used to sing that song that said, "And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own." How many of you know tonight that you are of God, that you belong to him? And when you feel his touch, whether sometimes it might be a gentle hug, sometimes it might be just a nudge on the side, or sometimes the Lord, he has every right to, but the Lord has never struck me in anger like Moses did when he smote that rock that God told him to speak to. God has always been gentle, even when I deserved. How many of you deserved a beating in your time of being a child of God? But God has never done that. Even when we was astray and afar off, as we preached the other evening in a service, that God, he come to where we was at, and when he got a hold of us, he put us upon his shoulder and he carried us back to the sheepfold. I've been there. I know what it's like to feel the love that only he could give to us. It's almost like tonight, how many of us was ever whipped growing up by mom? And as soon as the whipping was over and we got our crying done, we'd run right back to her lap and sit there. And she would give us those hugs and squeeze us. And even though just a few minutes earlier, we didn't like her very much, but we loved her because she was mom. Well, God has a touch like that. That he can move mountains with his hands. He is so big. But yet, he is small enough to touch this heart of mine and to make it leap with joy, knowing that I'm his and he's mine. Sometimes I just like to get along with me and God. And folks say, you can't get a whole lot accomplished. And I don't get as much accomplished as I used to. But folks, I've been on the job scene and God come down and touch me. Or out plowing ground or hoeing or even cutting grass and God come down and touch me. You don't have to be in church for the Lord to touch you. It's a good place. But how many of you have ever had a spell at the house while God was touching your life and your heart? Sometimes I've been in a car when the Lord would touch me. And I know for sure people around me thought somebody he loved just died. Or he got some kind of bad news. If only they knew in the car. It wasn't tears of sorrow, but it was tears of joy. Because I had a touch of the Lord on my life. Everybody God touched, it changed their life. Everybody. And throughout, I read to you from the book of Matthew, throughout the whole Bible, everyone God touched, it changed their life. And I have to say that when he touched my life, it changed it today. And the closer I get, the further down this road I get, and the closer I get home, folks, it seems like I treasure that more than anything else this world has to offer. Just to feel a touch of the Master's strong hand, because it leads us, it guides us, it corrects us, and it gives us the healing that we have need of. I'm the one. How many of you are the one that is standing in need of prayer? You say, not me, but my children. Not me, but my grandchildren or my brother or my sister. I've got family that's so far away from God that just a little bit of the gospel excites them. And I want to clarify that, if I can. You see, they're so far away from God that you read one scripture, they think that's so spiritual. In a church that don't know the Spirit. You say, Roger, you're being judgmental. I've listened to the program. You see, it's not that you read a scripture. It's what you feel on the inside that changes your life. And when God touches you, the leper didn't go back to the leper colony. Amen? He moved back home. Oh, I got to preach a little bit. You see, when the lepers were cast out, they had to leave family and friend behind. They couldn't provide for their families. They was out there in a place outside the city that was destined for all lepers to be. But when the healing come, praise God, they could go back in town and people would see them and probably look at them bug-eyed, wanting to know if they really was cured or not. But I believe they'd run down there and roll their sleeves up so everybody could see, I've been touched by the Master. Therefore, I am cured. And I'm going back home to be with my family and my friends. And I believe that everywhere they went, they told about what Jesus did for them. You know, we ought to be telling somebody about what the Lord has done to us. Listen to what Jesus told him in the fourth verse. He said, first of all, see that thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. See, Jesus said, I didn't come to tear down the law, to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill the law. Under the law, anybody that had leprosy, when it was healed, they had to go to the priest and show themselves to the priest and take an offering with them. I'm glad we are not under the law, but we are under the grace plan. That everything God forgives, and I said, I'm not going to preach long. Everything God forgives, I don't have to tell anybody what He forgave me of. Amen? Because many of us today, God has touched us for things that we knew better to allow to come into our life. But we allowed the devil, we listened to him, and it brought things in our life that we had no need of. And the Lord touched us, and he drove away that desire for those things that the devil brought in. You see, God's touch is one that is easily recognized. Because no man ever touched like God touches. When he touched me when I was lost, it was a touch, and people sometimes, and maybe sometimes, I got to preach on this text, but some people think God is a mean old man sitting up in heaven, just looking down, just waiting for us to make a mistake so he could punish us. That's not the God I serve. God is up in heaven looking down, and his son Jesus is there. And I believe that they're hoping the best for us and want to give us the best if we will just do our best to live a good, godly life. He'll give us everything we have need of. As I said in this morning's message, God has blessed us so. Every one of us. How many of you know you've been blessed by God? And if you know you've been blessed by God, we was listening to a song coming to church and this evening, and that song says it like this. If we've been blessed by God, somebody ought to say amen. And somebody ought to shout hallelujah. Somebody ought to praise the Lord for the touch of God upon our lives and upon our homes. I believe it just this way. If you really serve God the way that we're supposed to serve God, everything you touch will turn out good. You say, oh, that's a big statement. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to be blessed. And people say every time I turn around, it's something wrong. You see, in our eyes, it's something wrong. In God's eyes, it's something good. Amen? I'll use the example of Brother Charlie. To Kim and Kathy and the kids, it's a bad thing right now. Because they're sitting there watching somebody they love be in so much pain and suffering from cancer. Some of y'all have been there. I've been there. And it's hard right now for them to see what they're seeing. But I believe if only we could see it through God's eyes. God's saying, just a little while longer, and you'll be home with me. You'll be home. See, those that leave here knowing God, they just exchange this world of sin for a better place. But those that leave here lost, the last touch they'll ever feel from God was the last time he knocked upon their heart's door and offered them the opportunity to become part of his great family. They'll never feel the touch of the Lord again. But in hell, they'll pray to die and won't die. And this is Roger. I believe that they'll be looking afar off into heaven. While there's a pain and suffering in hell, they'll be rejoicing on the hills of glory. And they'll be made to look afar off. Ask the rich man. In hell, he lifted up his eyes and he saw that little beggar that used to sit outside his gates just begging for the crumbs from his table. One thought he was rich. The other one knew he was poor. But when death came along, the situation was reversed. The one that was poor really was rich. And the one that was rich was really poor. Because if you don't have God, you're poor, wretched, blind, and miserable. You are. You say, I don't feel like that. In your soul, you are. Nothing satisfies you. You know, if you're really happy in God and you feel the touch of the Master on your life, you could be happy with almost nothing. Brother Ray, some folks are afraid to say that because they're afraid God will take it away to see if they really would be happy. Job would say it like this. Since we're studying about Job, Job said, I've been rich and now I'm poor. Blessed be the Lord. Amen. God giveth and God taketh away. Blessed be the Lord today. Because as long as we have the touch of the Lord. I used to hear my grandma and grandpa and them testify to that. And I think to myself, man, you can take the Lord, but give me that other stuff. When they say, I don't want the world, I don't want its riches or its wealth, I was just a little smart aleck. But in my mind, I was thinking, I'll take it. Right? But then I got to a place where God saved me. And I realized, folks, money can't buy what God can give to you today. We're going to close with an altar of prayer. Because there are people that need to touch of the Lord upon their life. I pray for Brother Lloyd tomorrow that God will just touch him. You know, as he's being pushed into the operating room with Martha and his daughter and her husband outside the door, they can only go so far, but God can go in the operating room with him. And he can feel the touch of the Lord upon his life before the surgeon makes the first incision. I pray for Boyd on Wednesday that he could feel the touch of the Lord. You see, I'm praying for Boyd to have a twofold touch. One for his soul and one for his surgery. And then on Friday for little Rachel. I pray for her that God, as she goes in to deliver, that God will put his touch upon her body. You see, I believe this with all my heart. As bad as surgery and delivering a child is, God can make it go so smooth and so easy. Do you believe that tonight? Then we ought to be praying for them, saying, God, let them feel your touch upon their life. In fact, don't wait till Friday or Wednesday or Monday to pray. We all already been praying, saying, Lord, let them feel your presence, and not just them, but all of our sick folk. Everyone that needs a healing. You see, my God is in the healing business. Not just the saving business. He's in the restoration business. He will restore homes. He will restore lives. And that's why, as dark and gloom as our country is, I still have hope for it. Because God could change it if we would just change. And I'll close with a final thought. People rather have the touch of the world than the touch of God. Because the world makes them feel like they're somebody. You ever seen somebody that's head got too big because they had a title? It drives me crazy that before they got the title, they was just down to earth Joe. They get a title and their head almost explodes. And then you now have to address them differently and talk to them differently. Well, I know the master of the whole universe. Amen. And when I go before him, I talk to him the same way as if I was talking to my dad. Or I was talking to a brother or sister or to one of you. Because you see, he knows, even before we begin the conversation, what I have need of. All he's wanting to see is if I recognize what I have need of. Now, that's good. Because people say, if God already knows what we have need of before we pray, why do we pray? To see if we know what we need. Some of you didn't get it. Because we put things based upon what we see. God puts them in order based upon what he knows. Tonight, as we get one song of invitation, and then we're going to have an altar prayer before our business meeting. We're going to do that. But somebody may need to pray tonight because you've not felt the touch of the Lord recently like you had in days past. You know, with all the things going on in our lives, how many of you is busy from the time you get up to the time you go to bed? Amen. There's always something to be done. Sometimes I'll come in, I'll work, and then I'll come in and I'll help Becky around the house. And I'll say, man, a man's work is never done. And she said, yeah, it's hard being a woman, ain't it? You know, seems like no matter how much you do, there's always more to do. Amen, Debbie? I remember when Glenn was off work, I told her, I said, you ought to put him to work doing the laundry and cleaning the house. And she had second thoughts about it. But you see, every one of us, as busy as we are, sometimes when we get busy, we forget about the master's touch. We forget about that we need him more during those times than we do any other time because our mind. How many of you today sometimes you start working on something and you know you got something else to do and you get so busy you forgot what or you forget what the next thing was that you was going to do. Right? Sometimes people say you're getting Alzheimer's. No. I think it is what it is. We just got too many things going on at the same time. Too many things that we're trying to accomplish. What we need to do is slow down a little bit. How many of you want to slow down just a little bit? Amen? Well, I got bad news. It's not going to slow down. I've talked to people that's retired. And they say that they're so busy now they don't even know how they ever had time to work. That's why I'm just going to stay working. At least while I'm staying working, I know what I'll be doing most of the day. But I and you, we need God's touch upon our life. I wish our people that are sitting by the wayside, as the Lord passes by, all they have to do is ask, and He will give it to them. Maybe you're here tonight, and as I said just a few moments ago, you've not felt the touch of the Lord upon your life like you have in days past. I believe that there's a sense of change in the air, don't you? That we want to be closer to the Lord. We want to know more about Him. We want to grow personally, individually, and as a church. We want to grow. But growth by God, not by man. Amen? And I ask you tonight, you know, we need everyone fighting that is able to bear arms for our Lord and Savior. You need to get back to where God can touch you like He had in days past. While we stand, they sing a verse of a song. I ask you tonight, why don't you come to an altar and cry out to an almighty, all-wise God and ask Him to let you feel that touch upon your life. One more time. Would you do that tonight? Let God touch you. Anybody else tonight? Take it to the Lord and leave it there. You know what you need. You know that you're needing the touch of God upon your life, even at this hour. I ask you to bring it to the Lord. Give it to Him, and He will take care of the rest of it. Take your burdens to the Lord. Just one more verse, Rob. Follow your heart tonight. Bless you tonight. Anybody else? Some of y'all come in and pray with this brother. That takes a lot of courage to just step out and say, Lord, I need your touch. Anybody else tonight know that you need the touch of the Lord upon your life? Allow God to do it for you tonight. He's the only one that can do it. No doubt in many of these situations that we read to you tonight, many folk passed by, but nobody could do what the Lord could. Bring your burden to the Lord and leave it there. While these are praying, why don't the rest of us just come in and pray also? Will you do that tonight? Amen and amen. Bless all these that came tonight. Anybody got anything on your heart? God bless. You see, sometimes we just need to talk to God. Amen. Just